if you were able to make those people visit your profile, then are we making it as easy for them to discover you, to understand within 5 seconds that they need to scroll and read more? And are we providing them with the right information in the right order at the right time in a way that will make them go to tracywilson.com and reach out to you?
You guys, welcome to another episode of The Unlock Show. I'm your host, Tracy Wilson. It's my pleasure to be here with you guys today. I've got a couple of little different camera angles for you this morning, but I've got something pretty exciting to share with you as well. I've got an amazing guest who's here with me today, all the way from Israel. And as you know, I'm based here in Australia, so we're quite a world apart. Daniel and I. But in saying that, we're not a world apart when it comes to looking at different ways that we can really expand and promote ourselves using the online networks, being LinkedIn. And for those of you that have been around for quite some time, you'll know how powerful, or maybe you don't really realize how powerful LinkedIn can be. And if that is you, if you're thinking, gosh, I know that LinkedIn's out there, I know that I should really be using it, but I'm not really sure how to, then today's episode is going to be right up your alley. My guest today, Daniel, is a LinkedIn specialist. He's actually the author of Build a LinkedIn Profile for Business Success, and he's been on LinkedIn since way back in 2004, which is quite some time, given, you know, the space that is moving at quite a pace in the technological world. LinkedIn being an extremely powerful tool, it can be extremely misunderstood. And Daniel will tell you all about that, because we are going to demystify some of the misunderstandings that a lot of people have when it comes to LinkedIn. He's trained thousands and thousands of people in LinkedIn, and over the years, he's developed a very simple method that can help leaders reach their objectives without having to do any of this cold connecting. I don't know about you, but I'm not a big fan of all of a sudden having all of these sales pitches in my, in my messages. So without cold connecting, without paying for a premium account or trying to advertise or trying to become somebody else. So I want you to know that if you've got an audience that is over, you know, that is likely to be in LinkedIn, then you want to know how to be able to reach them in the platform LinkedIn. And today's session is going to be exactly what you need to be able to take your LinkedIn profile and strategy to the next level with what Daniel's going to be sharing with you. So welcome to the Unlock Show, Daniel. It's fantastic to have you here.
Hey, Tracy, what an amazing intro. Thanks for having me on the Unlocked Show.
You're welcome. And I'm excited. I'm really interested myself in learning a lot more about LinkedIn and how I potentially can even use that, to reach and help more people and add value to their lives. So how about you just tell us firstly, like, let's go back to 2004 when, you know, you started out on LinkedIn, and what's happened with the journey for you to get you to a point where you've become a specialist in the LinkedIn space? How did that all come about?
Well, it's a great question. What happened is that I held my sales job in 2006. I was carrying quota. And for the first time, LinkedIn enabled me to see the name of the person I needed to reach out to. And that, Tracy, meant I cut my sales cycle by 30%. And that was the moment I decided I need to dive a bit deeper into LinkedIn. And since you hit record, 1,000 people have joined LinkedIn.
Yeah,
two people sign up every second. So let's unlock some myths.
So give me that number again. How many people per second are actually joining LinkedIn?
Two people sign up every single second somewhere on the globe.
Wow.
And LinkedIn in general is over 800 million users. It's been acquired by Microsoft. It's and whenever someone, any entrepreneurs will run a search for their name on Google, unless they're called Tracy Wilson, their LinkedIn profile will top the list.
So that's just how powerful it is, right? And I think LinkedIn being being that place that's really positioned themselves as being the go-to platform for professionals, right, it is really growing off the back of their B2B strategy has really ramped up that space, right? So let's talk a little bit more. And I'm sorry, I'm not on the screen right now, and I know we're just going to put you in the spotlight. I'm just having a bit of trouble with my cameras, but it doesn't matter. You guys get to see the amazing Daniel as we talk about this. But you know, from a entrepreneur's perspective, why should they, like, why is LinkedIn so important now? And I just think about many of those entrepreneurs that are sitting out there at the moment who have been grinding away trying to get themselves seen on platforms like Facebook and maybe have neglected the fact that there is this other platform out there saying, hey, I'm over here and I'm actually, you know, being dedicated. And I think one of the things that LinkedIn has got is it's very specifically designed to be able to promote an individual as opposed to having a whole lot of noise on the platform. So, you know, why should an entrepreneur really be focused now on the LinkedIn space?
Wow, that's a very strong question, and I will try to answer it this way. If your clients, Tracy, are on LinkedIn, then you need to be on it. Okay, so Facebook is great for lots of activities, but when you surf across Facebook, you're not necessarily in a buying mode and you're hardly in a professional mode, whereas most people who visit LinkedIn are ready to engage with you if they want to maybe launch their podcast. They're likely to run a search and see whether they could work with you and maybe you could help them create an online course or grow their business. So LinkedIn is the professional network for entrepreneurs, and they can have fun on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and TikTok, but LinkedIn is where business happens.
That in itself is, if that's not a good enough reason to make people sort of sit up and take a bit of notice, I don't know what is, because, you know, with all these different platforms that are out there, I mean, you could turn your attention and try to be all things on the likes of TikTok, but given that LinkedIn has been around for such a long time, it doesn't seem to be going anywhere anytime soon, but it has created itself as being that. So when somebody goes to LinkedIn, like you say, they're expected, all of a sudden mentally we're in that professional space where we're looking for certain things, we're wanting to connect with other like-minded professionals rather than, you know, grab out your phone and just have a bit of call it playtime on the likes of TikTok and just, you know, scrolling aimlessly. So what is the best, I mean, a lot of people get hung up on this too, is like, to create my profile on LinkedIn, what are some of the things I should really be thinking about? Should I be thinking about it in terms of it being another kind of website for me, or should I be thinking about it in terms of I need to create this as my online resume or CV?
Great question. And my answer would be, try to think of your LinkedIn profile, Tracy, as a website that needs to convert your ideal reader. Now, what do I mean by that? Job seekers or talents should think of their LinkedIn profile as an online CV. Okay, if I'm a DevOps developer, then my LinkedIn profile has to serve my next hiring manager. But as entrepreneurs, Tracy, we're not looking for to become an employee. We're interested in leads. So instead of thinking about our LinkedIn profile, whether we worked for that company in Queensland in 2019 or 2020, that's not of interest. But we need to focus and think about our ideal reader, our ideal prospect. And the second question we need to ask is, what action would we like them to perform after their visit our profile? Maybe we can take a real-life example of an entrepreneur you've worked with or any entrepreneur listening to this show. So who would be your ideal reader?
Oh, who would be my ideal reader? So it would be somebody who would be interested in creating their own live show. So that might be, you know, yeah. So somebody who's got skills and expertise and they're wanting to find a way of being able to share that in a more connected way.
Great. And what action would you like them to perform? Say we had a magic way to enable anyone who's interested in launching that sort of program. If we made them go to linkedin.com/in/Tracy Wilson, what action would you like them to perform after they see what you're up to?
Well, you'd want them to reach out to you and you know, build a connection so that you could have what we would call a discovery call to determine whether or not they're the right type of client for us. And then we can continue to have that further conversation as to how we would work together if we're the right fit.
Excellent.
So it might be something as simple as that.
Excellent. It doesn't have to be complicated, really. So all we have to do is ask the following three questions. Who's your ideal reader? An entrepreneur who wants to launch a live show and the action you'd like them to perform is reach out to you. So now the last question is, if you were able to make those people visit your profile, then are we making it as easy for them to discover you, to understand within 5 seconds that they need to scroll and read more? And are we providing them with the right information in the right order at the right time in a way that will make them go to tracywilson.com and reach out to you?
So what you're essentially saying is that we want to create it as a website, but then also we're thinking about the customer journey and creating that site, that profile, like we would traditionally a funnel, right? And I know you've got some materials that we could share that we could actually demonstrate what that might look like. So in terms of, okay, who is it that I'm, who's my ideal audience? Who do I want to actually speak to? And then what action do I want them to take? And then how do I shift them potentially from LinkedIn, make the shift over to my own platform? So, which, and I'm assuming you kind of would talk about it in this way too, but making that big switch so that you now own that traffic, creating traffic to your site so that you can now own that traffic. Am I on the right track?
Yes, you nailed it. Because conversion is likelier to happen on tracywilson.com and not on LinkedIn. So one very important distinction we have to understand is that the transaction will not happen on LinkedIn. And in terms of content, since you produce a lot of high-quality content, the best content that would work on LinkedIn is top of funnel, the awareness stage. So if you can ask yourself, what sort of questions are my prospects struggling with? And you could create or repurpose some of your content in a way that would answer their questions, it would be great. I was listening to a recent episode you had with Jason Sircone where you discussed podcast guesting and content in general. And it's amazing because you can take a piece of content and like an episode and repurpose it in 20 or 50 different ways.
Yeah.
Creating or repurposing high quality, educational, evergreen content is what works best on LinkedIn. And when I say educational, I mean, it's not a happy hour sale. It's answering objectively the questions they have in a way that make them understand that there are a number of options. Maybe you can relate to the questions they struggle with. And you could provide them with the pro and cons of this system, or should we invest in that sort of technology, or how do I start? And then you give them value, taking them from point A to point B. And when they understand the value of that, you can then tell them there's a whole point C and D I could work you with, and that is either downloading or going in that having that strategy call, or downloading some gated content, or making the next step. So you lead with value, you help them moving from the position they're at towards the destination they want. It could be a very small effort, it could be a really baby step, and that sort of content is likely to make them discover you in the first place and understand that Tracy Wilson is part of the solution.
Mm. And I mean, look, even this episode today, right, you know, as you're talking through what are some of the ideas or the concepts that you could be sharing on the likes of on the LinkedIn platform, being the what, when, why, who, how kind of questions, being questions that people that are already on that platform would be asking themselves. So if we were to give an example of that, you know, even with this, how do I create my LinkedIn profile? I'm an entrepreneur. Should it be a CV or should it be, you know, should I be creating it more like a website? I mean, a simple question like that, that might be going through someone's mind, and then being able to answer that question for them, which you've already done today in terms of you're an entrepreneur. So you don't want to be looking at it like a resume. You want to be looking at this from a completely different angle. That would be a big mistake for you to make. You want to treat it as if it's the top of your funnel and include that as part of your overall web presence strategy.
Yes. If the first thing that people see when they come across your profile is a banner, and the banner mm-hmm. simply shows them the destination you'd like them to go. Mm-hmm. So working on your website, Tracy, may have taken, you know, lots of hours, but uploading the banner is something you can do with Canva with 5 minutes or with less than half an hour. And that makes people understand why they tend to spend more time on your profile when you add information and content like this. So the very mm-hmm. first Absolutely. Thing to remember is a great banner. And then the next step would be to invest in an interesting headline. The headline is the text that's just next to your name. And for most people, it would be, you know, CEO Tracy Wilson or a co-founder, whatever. But you mm-hmm. made your own headline about your reader. Mm. And that's the very important distinction that entrepreneurs need to understand. Your headline says ClickFunnels specialist, usability specialist with that peculiar spelling, online marketing specialist, mm-hmm. business and marketing strategist. And the name of your company is not prominent here. And we need to understand that when we're entrepreneurs, we're not important. Our audience doesn't care about us. The only thing they care about is the way we can help them reach their objectives.
Yeah.
So tweak your headline like you've seen in Tracy's example, and add a banner, and that will make most of your prospect spend more time on your profile and probably get closer to understanding your part of the solution.
Mm-hmm. And it's quite interesting. This is absolutely timely for even for me, because I'll be the first to put my hand up and say, gosh, it's been a little while since I've been in and even updated, my banner and even my headline, because, you know, things do change over time. And as I mentioned, you know, at the moment, I do a lot of work with people on helping them create their own live shows and how to do that. But even on my LinkedIn, it doesn't specifically state that, being a ClickFunnels international ambassador. Usability is my own company, which is a web development and website builder, funnel builder, a membership builder. So all of those things that are on there, you know, and maybe one of the mistakes, and this is actually a question for you, when you are an entrepreneur and you have multiple different businesses that you run, how should you show up on LinkedIn? How do you do that when you're a multifaceted entrepreneur that doesn't necessarily just focus on one particular thing? What would your advice be to somebody like that?
It's going to be tough, and maybe you won't like my answer, but I would advise you to pick one.
Pick one, yeah.
I'll try to rephrase it in a more diplomatic way. Focus on one and simply ask yourself, out of you are multifaceted, you run many businesses, and there are many ways you can help it. But if you had to pick one for the next 6 months, one that resonates with your LinkedIn audience, then which one would that be? And that should be up front and center. And the thing is, you don't have to delete or hide the other activities that you have, but what you could do is simply push them to the bottom. And once people discover you thanks to activity A, now they can see that you also have activity B. But if you say, I do A, B, C, and D, that is likely to make most people go away because they're a bit overwhelmed with this.
Yes. What do they say? A confused audience never buys. So, I think that advice of focusing on one thing, and even if you are somebody perhaps who is multifaceted, just picking up one thing at a time for a period of time and then swapping them out when you need to. The next question I've got is, obviously in LinkedIn, you have the option of having a personal profile or a professional mm-hmm. profile, and then you mm-hmm. also have the business profile. When should you have both? Is it necessary to have both? And if it is, what should you actually have on each of those? Like, how do you differentiate the two? What information should you put on your individual profile versus your business profile?
Excellent. So I'm going to make life easier for everyone. I don't think you need to focus on the business page. You need to focus on your own individual profile. And that's one very common mistake that entrepreneurs are making, because on LinkedIn, your individual profile, Tracy, will have a lot more connections or followers than your business page will ever have.
Dan, I just think I heard a whole lot of people go, yay. I only have to focus on one.
Right. So I would simply ask, how many company pages are you following? And I can see that it's not a lot, because the mm-hmm. natural action for LinkedIn users is to connect as individuals. You look someone up, you may decide to connect or not, but following a page is something that most people don't do. So mm-hmm. all you have to do is make sure it's out there, it's okay, and maybe visit it every 6 months, and that's it. But day-to-day mm-hmm. lead generation will not come from your page. It will be done thanks to your individual profile.
Yeah, good point. Well, like I said, I think there was a whole lot of people just go, I can narrow down my my focus, and that's just taken one, you know, task off of my to-do list. Thinking, oh my God, he's going to tell me I've got to create all my business profiles. Now, I noticed that you had something up there that you wanted to share. Did you want me to share that on the screen? If you want to pop that back up, I'll share it to the screen if it's relevant. If not, you know, we've covered everything. That's cool.
With pleasure. It's very simple. It's five misconceptions.
Let me pop it up there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So you were referring to the company page, and what I advise our audience here is to focus on their individual profile. Because one thing we have to remember is that if we connected as individuals, then you would have access to my email and we could communicate outside of LinkedIn. Whereas, say, even if I decided to follow your page, you have no information about me. It's like I would go to Amazon and I would order the Shemith, or I would order mm-hmm. your previous book. Then the entity that holds the buyer data is not Tracy Wilson, it's Amazon.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So forget about the page, focus on the individual profile, because if we connect with an individual, then you're able to have the conversation outside of LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that of recent, but probably over the last kind of 12, possibly even 18 months, LinkedIn introduced LinkedIn video, live video. And I know that that is something that a lot of people have been trying to get on board with. How do you get LinkedIn, to be able to do live video? For example, let's say I wanted to have this show streamed directly into LinkedIn. How would one go about doing that? And secondly, do you see that as a beneficial thing to do?
Great. So maybe 20 seconds about the importance of video in general, and then we would segue into LinkedIn. Video is big and growing. So in general terms, I don't think you need to do anything for the sake of LinkedIn. But if your strategy also includes video content, then LinkedIn should be one of the ways for you to leverage that video. And it's very simple. You can have access to video live. If you become a creator, then you have automatic access. And LinkedIn is about to enable anyone, every user, to have access to LinkedIn live videos. And LinkedIn live videos could also be pre-recorded. I've been on shows where we had a chat, and then because the show was scheduled to be on Friday, Eastern, whatever, then the LinkedIn Live event was broadcasted across LinkedIn. And I think a broadcasting across LinkedIn video that you already produce or think of producing should be part of your strategy. It strengthens your thought leadership. It enables people to consume content on LinkedIn, and it should be part of your strategy.
Absolutely, and goes without saying, you know, it gives you an opportunity to for them to get to know you, actually see you. It just creates a completely different level of connection with the person when they're actually able to see who they potentially would be speaking to, right? So I think, you know, anybody who is most people these days are on LinkedIn. If you're not, then obviously you're going to follow some of the strategies and advice that Dan's given today so that you can get yourself up and running on LinkedIn as fast as possible. And then potentially even creating, you know, whether it's live stream content like so, to be able to utilize that, whether it's repurposed or streamed directly into LinkedIn for that specific purpose, I would highly recommend you do that. When we're in the likes of LinkedIn, and I know a lot of social media platforms, initially when you get on them, people have this focus around, I've just got to, you know, connect with as many people as I possibly can. What on LinkedIn, what is, you know, should you be going hard to try and get as many connections as possible? Is it a volume play, or is it more a value play? What's the best way to go?
Excellent. So I think that there, based on my experience, there are two ways to approach this. One is to go for quantity. And that means you need to have 30,000 connections. And when you share something, you have great exposure. The second way to do it is to go for quality. That means you may have 200 or 800 connections, but you must know all of them well. And that is the best way for you to get referrals. Now, in my own business, referrals constitute probably 90% of my income and 90% of my clients. So if you prefer advertising, then go for a large network. If you are a service-based entrepreneur, then having a small, trustworthy network is way better. And the worst mistake entrepreneurs might make, Tracy, is try to aim for both, because we don't want to make a choice. We want quality and we want quantity. So let's imagine I started with 200 connections I knew well, and that meant I could run a search and see an ideal prospect of mine and notice that the name of the mutual connection is someone I feel comfortable reaching out to. If I speak with that person and he's willing to make an introduction, that can translate into revenues and a paying client. But because I heard all the time that I needed to grow my network, like you said, so I decided to grow my network tenfold. Instead of 200 people, now I have 2,000 people, most of whom I don't really know. And I think I have exposure. The sad truth is that I don't have exposure. Why is that? Because when you share something on LinkedIn, maybe 2% will see it. And if 2% will see it, then when you grow your network from 200 to 2,000, instead of whatever it was, you only have 40 eyeballs on that content. But you now disqualified or polluted your network and your ability to get referrals, because when your ideal prospect looks at you and they see two names and they reach out to those people, then they will say, Tracy, who? That's not the way to go. Pick one, because the price of veering is way too heavy. It will take you years to transition from quality to quality, from quantity to quality, or the other way around. Another way to put it, would you like to be the best connected, or would you like to be the most connected?
And these are really good points that you make, and I hope that people are, you know, really thinking about it, because I think over the years people have really been trained to just go, you know, friends, have as many friends as possible. But like you say, that there's a that that is a big danger in that, because you're diluting, polluting your network. And then when you do actually have something really valuable to share, it's no longer getting out to those people that probably would have brought it, probably would have, you know, had a high chance of them being very interested in it. All of a sudden, you've got a whole lot of people that are like, yeah, whoopee-doo, not really that interested in that. And you've essentially wasted your opportunity. So I think that, you know, really thinking about the strategy on there and thinking about, you know, where do I put my time? So right now I'm thinking, you know, go the actions out of today's show, certainly for me and I think for a lot of other people should be, because the Unlock Show is always full of lots of actions for us to take away. Go and look at your LinkedIn profile. Have a look at the imagery that you've got on there. So opportunity one, look at your banner. You know, it's an opportunity on there for you to be able to actually speak directly to the people that you are trying to reach. Then utilize that headline and make sure that you put some really, you know, something descriptive in there that's going to hook people and get them interested. Use the rest of the page to draw people down it so that they can, you know, read more about you. Use the big switch and being able to move them from there with a call to action to your own, you know, to your own page. And then really be thinking about quality. You know, what do I need to do to make sure that I can go and friend or connect with all those people that are potentially interested in what I'm about? And likewise, I'm interested, because I think it's always better if it's a two-way interest. If they're interested in what I've got to offer, I want to be interested in my clients too. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be working with people that I don't really have an interest in their business. It's not my thing. If they're not, you know, for example, if you're vegan, you're probably not going to want to do a lot of work with other people who are not vegan. So, you know, just making sure that those connections are nice and solid too. When it comes to that, so now I'm at the point of, okay, so I'm in there. I've got a whole lot of people I already know, but I actually want to start connecting with other people that I don't really know, but I'm committed to creating a relationship with these people. How do I find them?
Great question. And I'll say this. You have to have a system before you connect or after you connect. What do I mean by that? If you are cold connecting, then you need to build a system that would engage with that person. That's something that's extremely difficult, because I'm sure you've received tons of pitches, people trying to connect with you, and 20 seconds after you hit accept, you get some all sorts of amazing offers you would never even imagine you wanted, and that's probably one of the worst connection strategies out there. The other way to do it is to have a whole process before you connect. In other words, if I know that we were having a conversation, we're having a meeting, going to a conference next week, then I would wait for us to have a chat next week before I connect with you. Because if people are going to ask you about the entrepreneurs would want Tracy to say something positive or about them. And it's even more important to understand. I'm going to share my screen for a second about the metrics. Okay, the metrics are a way, the tendency of many entrepreneurs is to focus on the LinkedIn metrics. So should I have a gazillion connections or how many people view this? But in fact, Tracy, as entrepreneurs, what should constitute our North Star is not the LinkedIn metric at all. It's the business metrics. So you mentioned a discovery call. Say you have 4 discovery calls a week, and you start using LinkedIn, and you now have 6 discovery calls a week. Then the minute you can translate those discovery calls into paying customers and paying clients is the moment you say, okay, so now I've grown my business. Now I have more people I can serve. And the truth is you don't need to think about the LinkedIn metrics at all, because you could have 200 connections and a growing business, and you might have 2,000 connections with decreasing revenues. And at the end of the day, you don't need to say, wow, I'm God's gift to humanity. I'm popular. I have a gazillion connections. What you may want to say is that I've grown my business by 20% this quarter. So the LinkedIn metrics on the left should serve the business metrics on the right. Mm-hmm. And my clients gain revenues and orders and not connections or LinkedIn metrics.
Yeah. And again, so many distinctions that you're making, you know, throughout this process of, you know, understanding the difference between, you know, between what we should be actually focused on. Is it our individual? Is it the business page? Is it, you know, the LinkedIn metrics as opposed to the business metrics? And you're absolutely right, because in every instance, what you've just said applies. So it doesn't matter what platform you are, you know, you're working on, whether it be Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Google, whatever it is. A lot of the time, we're very focused on what are the metrics telling me on that specific platform. And, you know, way over in the background somewhere, we might consider the business metrics, when in fact, what you're saying, bring those business metrics forward, because really they're the only ones that matter. You know, if you can translate people through, through being a connection on LinkedIn, through to having a conversation, through to making the switch onto your site, through to having a discovery call that then translates into, you know, into further business, then those are the metrics that we really should be looking at. Those are the things that start to move the needle and start to make a real difference to your business bottom line.
Thank you very much. I think you said it beautifully. We don't need to, the platform needs to serve us as entrepreneur and not the other way around. And if we could rephrase it as a question, then as an entrepreneur on LinkedIn, think, am I doing the right thing or am I doing what's popular? Yeah. And this simple question should help entrepreneurs understand that if they focus on what's important, their business will grow.
And I think I just want to make this point too. Like you mentioned just a little while ago, you know, about the systems of you need to have a system that you've created for either the before or the after, and maybe even both. You know, if you've got the before and the after, well, even, you know, even better still. But this comes down to planning and actually sitting down and thinking about your strategy before you just dive in head first, trying to figure out, you know, fumble along and figure out the stuff along the way. What you're actually saying is take some time right at the outset. Think about what is your play going to be? Are you going for quantity or are you going for quality? And I think Dan said, you know, I think quality is the much better road to go down. That quantity play is a very hard and long game that you'll be playing to try and get, you know, to get to where you need to be. So fastest way to, you know, to success is through quality. And then applying all of these things that you've been, that you've shared with us today. I also want to know, the next question a lot of people have is, how frequently should I be posting on LinkedIn? Like, you know, is it a once a day thing? Is it 10 times a day? Is it, you know, how long or how short should it be? Is it written? Is it video? What's the best, what, you know, in your opinion, if you were to come up with a strategy that is going to give an entrepreneur the biggest bang for their buck in both return and time, what would it be?
Maybe this answer is something you like. You don't have to share a lot on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. The thing is that most of our connections are not interested in seeing so much content coming from any single source. And if you try to share things even once a day, then that will turn some of them off. They would feel that we are hijacking their feed. And we are often judged by the quality of the latest share we had, and we don't care whether that was 3 months ago or this morning. This isn't Twitter, okay? It's something else. And my question would be, maybe it would be enough for you to think once a month about the best high-quality educational content that you've produced or read, And this is what I would share. There were quarters I haven't shared anything. And my business has grown during that quarter. So there shouldn't be any obsession about being seen, certainly if you go to the quality way. So forget about it and think about the single most high quality content that you've produced and try to share that. It could be images, it could be quotes, it could be also repurposing or curating content you've read, because producing content, as you know, is time consuming, and some of entrepreneurs may fail to produce that content. They could still highlight other people's content, usually content that resonates with them. And they would, my advice would be to, if you share something like that, then take an extra second to maybe say in a sentence, what made you decide to share this? Okay, maybe one quote that stuck with you, or even in some cases, a point you disagree with the author about it. It could be more interesting than just dropping the link out there. And try to answer the question, why should I click this? Why should I read this? Why should I consume this? And if you're providing the reader with the explanation, then they're likelier to visit it if it's of interest to them.
So, I mean, that goes back to that same strategy, right? Quality over quantity. So instead of feeling like, oh, my God, I've got to become a content creation machine and just be creating, you know, all sorts of things on there and take time consuming, just be very thoughtful about what you're going to be posting on there. And you know, I sort of look at that as more of a, from a, I say almost like a professor's standpoint rather than the student. Hey, look at all the things that I've done. It's like, you know, just on the once a month situation where you are sharing really good, high quality information that really does elevate your level of influence and authority on the platform.
Excellent. Because this will make me, next time I see Tracy Wilson's content, I'm likely to try and check you out. Whether if you post it six times a day, then at one point people will become blind to your content. They will not click on that. They would not engage. In some cases, they might even either unfollow you or disconnect. So you're doing a disservice to yourself. If you think you need to be out there 24/7, you don't.
Yeah, you become the white noise that, you know, is everywhere, but nobody hears it. So I know you talk about this in the sense that, you know, trying to get exposure is overrated for that reason, right? That too much of it is like, ugh, you know, it was nice to begin with. Thanks for coming, but now I've had enough of you. I'm full up. I don't want to hear from you anymore. Whereas if you're just drip feeding, you're giving them a little bit at a time. It's like, yeah, I want some more of that. I'm interested in reading more or listening to more of what you've got to say. So, you know, is there on that particular platform? Because I think a lot of people also can get a little bit afraid of, I've got to be so perfect on there. You know, everything's just got to be just so, because I'm in a professional playground, so to speak. You know, is that true?
LinkedIn is the world's professional playground, so there is some truth to this. But the question I would worry about is, first, are you looking professional on LinkedIn to begin with? Before it boils down to whether sharing should be our focus. It doesn't, and our profile is associated with everything we do on LinkedIn. So I'd like to share my screen maybe for last time and show something else, and that's the quadrants that show the amount of connections we have and the amount of information we provide to our readers. So, Tracy, when you signed up and when I signed up, when everyone signed up, we started where both axes start. And then since every connection we accepted moved us further to the right. Okay, so if we have 100 connections, we're there. If we have 200 or 2,000, we've moved to the right. I'd like our readers and our viewers here to focus actually on the axis that shows the amount of information we're providing to our readers. And if we want to convert them, if you want the person who wants to launch a live show to understand that Tracy Wilson is a solution to their problem, so you have provided great information on your own profile. You don't expect them to Google you and find information elsewhere. You curated that content and you provided that in a nice, visually appealing way on your profile. Now, the best quadrant to reach as entrepreneurs would be quadrant number four. Let me ask you this. Say you had two ways to reach the scale your business sales. One way would be to connect with as many people as you'd like, go to the right, and then improve your profile. Way number two would be to build a decent profile first and then connect with as many people as you'd like. What do you think would work best, Tracy?
Well, I would say option two.
Excellent. And what do you think most entrepreneurs, which route do they usually take?
They go option A, thinking, I'm just going to go and connect with a whole lot of people and then I'll update my profile. I mean, I'm sort of seeing where you're going with this now, you know. Okay, so you do that and then all of a sudden all those people that you've just connected with, they're going to go check you out. And so they've actually checked you out before you've had time to even update your profile and put all of your, you know, new fancy stuff on there and positioned yourself well. So it absolutely makes sense now that we've been through all of these things today, you know, to do your profile first and think about the strategy, give it some real thought. Create all of this so that you have got, because you'd never send somebody to a website that you've not built.
But that's the equivalent, actually. That's the equivalent, because if you connect with 1,000 people and then you imagine I would own the number one result for Tracy Wilson. And then when I go there, then people would see a website that's under construction. That's the exact equivalent of connecting with people before your profile converts. So I'm not saying connections are unimportant, but timing is important. And before you send people to your website, you want to build it. And before you send people to your profile, you want to make sure it converts.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, this is really interesting. And I mean, I could continue to talk about this stuff, because I think it is a really interesting topic. And given the amount of, I'm going to say, this almost feels like it's the, not poor cousin, but almost like the poor cousin that's been in the corner that's actually the black swan, you know, or what do you call it, white swan, you know. It's like I'm over here, you know, you haven't really been paying a lot of attention to me, but yeah, probably should have, because you're missing a whole lot of opportunity whilst all these other platforms have been making a lot of noise and you've been on their dance floor. I've been over here, you know, slowly, quietly making everything work. So you've certainly piqued my interest a whole lot more in the LinkedIn space, and maybe it's a bit of a kick up the bum to get over there and just do a bit of housework, you know, spring clean and housework and get that just so. And now that we've talked through these things, you know, as part of my own personal strategy would be to look at this on at least a 6-monthly basis, you know, focus on a particular thing, go back, readdress it. Is the strategy still the strategy? Does the strategy need to be shifted at any time? Am I still focused on that thing, or have I moved to, you know, or have I evolved and grown into something else? So that's certainly what I'm hearing out of our conversation today.
Thank you very much.
Is there anything else that you would add to that mix as actions for people to take? Because we've only got a few moments left in today's show, like if we could sum that up. But I want to say, I think this, if you're willing to, this is actually a topic that I would like to explore further. So I'd love to have you back at a later date and we can kind of go a little bit deeper on some different areas of LinkedIn if you've got more to add.
Hey, you made my day. So I look forward to this. Let's try to give some quick thoughts for entrepreneurs who don't have a lot of time. Okay. The number one tip I would have is to be consistent on LinkedIn. Now, what does that mean, Tracy? It means I would ask you how much time you think you can dedicate to LinkedIn on a weekly basis. And you could also answer 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I would ask you, can you commit to 5 minutes for the whole year? And if you say yes, then what can be done in those 5 minutes is simply visiting your notifications. And if one of your connections, an important connection, has updated their profile, starting a new position, or have a birthday or something, then reach out to them outside of LinkedIn. In other words, strengthen your relationship with your network when something happens, something important happens to them. Now, obviously, if you have 30 minutes a week, then you could maybe share and comment and do other things. And if you have a whole hour, then your lead generation could be on LinkedIn. But pick the amount of time you can really commit to. This will bring you better results than binge LinkedIn for a weekend and forget about it for 3 months. Because most people are visiting LinkedIn on every now and then. Say you sent me an invitation request, so I would accept or look you up, and then I would stick around and do something. And if you only visit LinkedIn once every quarter for 2 days, then it doesn't make sense. You will not see most people, and you don't reach out to someone and wish them a happy birthday, you know, 4 months after the act.
Yeah.
So consistency is even more important than frequency or the amount of time you need to dedicate to LinkedIn. And we can explore all sorts of ways to grow your business on LinkedIn, maybe in a future time.
I would love that, and I'm pretty sure that our viewers would really appreciate that too. So I think out of today's conversation, you know, as far as some actions are concerned, like as we mentioned, you know, it's thinking about, do I want to take LinkedIn in as part of my overall business marketing strategy? So that would be the first question you'd want to ask yourself. And if the answer is yes, then it's okay, well, get in there and have a look at your profile. So it might be, if you haven't got one, create one. If you do have one, go and review it, see what that actually looks like, and maybe put yourself in your readers or your ideal customer's shoes and read it from that perspective. What is that actually telling me? And then again, that mindset shift around, you know, I'm an entrepreneur in this case, so I want to be looking at my LinkedIn profile as like my, again, as an extension of my web presence. It's like my website, and we want to get that up and looking, you know, looking the part with all the right things on it before we start connecting, and then making the decision around, is it quality or is it a quantity play that you're going to go with? And as Dan and I have talked through today, we think it's, you know, it makes absolute sense for it to be around quality. If you do not believe me on this, I would go and do some experiments yourself. More than likely, you've got a huge profile on Facebook. You've got loads and loads of friends on your personal profile. Just go and do, I'm going to say something super simple. I did this the other day. Do a say hi to me if you see this post, just as a bit of an experiment to see how many of your 5,000 people actually come back and say hello. If you've used that play in the past, you'll find that you have very, very few friends really who see your stuff and actually say hello. No, it's a completely different platform, but that's how the algorithms work. So just, you know, that's just as an example of going down the path of a quantity play. And then thinking about, how much time can I spend on this platform? Can I at least carve out, you know, 10, 15 minutes, an hour a week to dedicate to the growth of my LinkedIn strategy, and then using that to do some very specific actions on there. And that's the part that I'm going to leave it at, because I think the next piece of this, when we get Dan back, we'll be talking about, so now that I've carved out the space, now what do I do? Where should I spend my time? What should I be, you know, where should I be spending my time again to get the biggest bang for my buck? So I think this has been a fantastic episode, Dan, and I want to thank you for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom around LinkedIn. I truly think it's one of those things that has been the black swan in a lot of ways in the social media space, because it's been there for a long time. A lot of people use it really, really well. Others have been playing in another space, and as we know, I don't even have to name these other places, but they're not doing so good, particularly if you're doing, you know, anything organic.
Well, thank you very much for that cliffhanger. I look forward to be part of the Unlocked show again. And thank you very much for your time today.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for being such a fantastic guest. And I thank all of our viewers for tuning in and watching another episode of Unlocked. I do want to leave with this. Dan has made a very kind offer to us. Later down the track, I'm going to put a link on here, and it's more than likely going to be this link that I'll just pop up on the screen right now, that you'll be able to go to get yourself a copy of some details around LinkedIn. Dan's going to put these together to really help you with your strategy. We will have this available within the next few days. So don't click it today. Come back in a few days' time, and you'll see that there'll be some goodies waiting for you right there on Dan's website, which you can see at the bottom of the screen right now. And this will also be in the show description with a link to where you can get those freebies. Dan might like to share with you today a little bit about what you can expect to find there. And if he might not too. He might just say, hey, I'll be a little surprise. Over to you, Dan, if you want to share that.
Thank you very much, Tracy. We've discussed connections in a number of ways in the Unlocked Show today, and W Connection is my very comprehensive guide about connections on LinkedIn, anything from quantity and quality, the price of trying to change, disconnecting from people, re-engaging with existing connections. Everything I know about connection is packed in there, and it's my gift to the Unlocked community.
And I'm really grateful because I know that you don't always offer that for free. That's actually a paid product that people pay for to have access to that. So, guys, you know, take Dan up on his offer because he's been very, very generous in allowing our viewers to have that absolutely free. So, like I said, the link is on the bottom of the screen right now, and it will also be in the description of today's show. But that's it for today's show, guys. I hope you've enjoyed this session. I most certainly have, learning a lot more about LinkedIn. And, you know, Tracy's going to go and get her butt over in the LinkedIn space and do a little bit of work over there. And, of course, we'll have Dan back to talk a lot more about that. And if you know anybody who would like to start their own live show, well, you know where to come. You can come and, you know, tap me on the shoulder. Go find me on LinkedIn. And hold me to my comments of getting in there and updating that, and you'll be able to connect with me, and I can talk you through some ways that you'll be able to start your own live show so that you too can build your influence and authority right the way through 2022 and beyond. But that's it for today's show, guys. Thanks so much for joining us here. As you know, we're back every Wednesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Brisbane time for our live shows, and on the odd occasion like we're doing today, because Dan was based all the way over in Israel, we managed to be able to do a recording for this version. So this particular one is not live, but leave us comments because we will make sure that we come back in after the show airs and we will answer all of your questions for you. So that's it for today's show. Thanks, everybody. Have a fantastic week wherever you are in the world, and we'll see you guys again on another episode of The Unlocked Show. Bye for now.